www.thebrewingclub.com. Hi, this is Jay Farrar in for Joanne Vrakis, and it is the Home Improvement Show, and it's time to take your calls. Give us a call at 514-790-0800 as we listen to and help you out with all things renovation. You got some projects going on. You have any questions? Don't ask me. Luckily, Walter Assey showed up today, president of Renovco, because if it was just me, you'd probably be standing in 3 inches of water or something, maybe on fire. Good to meet you, sir. Thanks so much for coming in. It's my first time doing it, so hopefully I'll do you proud.
And you're doing great.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's like riding a bike with you.
It's like riding the bike. Now, I understand this morning we have a very special guest.
We do. We have Martin from the War Veterans. We had them on before a couple of times. It's a cause that's very close to our heart. It's poppy season, so we'd like to have him on, you know, talk about it, how to encourage the local legions.
Yes.
For the war veterans, and, you know, we have to remember them.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Not only during poppy season, by the way. So
it should be throughout the entire year, of course.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. In every way we can.
Yeah, I understand Martin's on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, well, day two of our poppy campaign. I'll be running around all day like a chicken with my head cut off. But this is why we exist as a legion.
Yeah.
I'd just like to take this quick opportunity to correct Walter. Remembrance Day and the poppy season is not just about war veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, obviously, those that gave their lives in defense of our country, those obviously we remember, but we also like to remember everyone who served. Many of them came back injured, whether physically or mentally or both. The Legion believes that all veterans,
right,
no matter if they served in war or served in peacetime, deserve our remembrance and our respect.
There's so many aspects to how war affects people who serve, civilians as well, and everybody is touched in a certain way.
Exactly. The families, the friends, as well as especially those that served. But like I said, you know, we remember,
yep,
all their sacrifices, no matter what that sacrifice was.
Martin, tell us about exactly what you'll be doing over the campaign.
Well, my role is to make sure that all of our poppy sales, not sales, I'm sorry, we distribute poppies. We do not sell them.
Okay.
Have what they need. So I'll spend my day, especially day two here, going around and making sure that all our stations are fully manned, that they have all the supplies they need. We also have over 100 poppy displays,
mm-hmm,
in stores throughout our section of the West Island, as does every legion across the country right now. So the purpose of this, and I thank you for this, Walter and Jay, SCJAD, is to remind people it's poppy season. Yes, there's a problem with bus strikes and whatever.
Yes.
But, you know, make the effort, please. Get a poppy, wear a poppy to show that they will never be forgotten.
Martin, can you just tell us a couple of the bigger locations that are located within the city where people can go and pick up one of the poppies?
Well, I can only speak to my area of the West Island,
sure,
which is Dollard, Pierrefonds, Roxborough, Saint Genevieve, and Ile Bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Most IGAs.
Okay.
Most of the Maxis.
Great.
Those are our big, you know, where people are actually, you know, there to pin a poppy on you,
Martin. Thank
you. Know, but like I said, there's over 100 other stores with little poppy displays, big poppy displays.
Yeah.
If you see one, grab a poppy, wear a poppy.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And can Walter? You just give us an idea of how we can support the Legion beside the poppy season? That's also as important, because from previous discussions with you, the legions cannot tap into any of the sales of the poppies, right?
Exactly. You know, in order for a branch to survive, We have, for example, my branch, we have every Wednesday, we serve meals open to the public. We are not allowed to use poppy funds for any other purpose than helping veterans, either direct aid to veterans or supporting community organizations that do help veterans.
And an honorable task it is. Martin, thanks so much for joining us and giving us some insight and letting the people know about this very, very important campaign. Thank you so much.
Entirely my pleasure. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
All right. Good luck.
Don't work too hard.
Yeah, don't work too hard. Good luck with the rest of the campaign, and we're going to send the people out there and make sure that we help pay tribute to those who serve. Thanks so much,
Thank
Martin.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we turn over to the task at hand, I guess, Walter. We've got to get some callers in here at 514-790-0800. Give us a call. We've got one coming in now. We're going to touch on some projects, some renovations, any kind of advice you need on repairs, anything that's going on around the house. Before we get to our first callers, I wanted to ask you a quick question about heating.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the time of year where we start to turn on the heaters once again. Mm-hmm. And I always notice, now I'm hoping that this is not a problem, and I'm hoping that it's a normal phenomena. When I turn on my heat, you know, that weird smell mm-hmm. that you get for the very first time. What is that smell, and is there any danger in it?
So it depends what kind of heat you have. Are you heating with oil or
it's
gas?
Electric.
Electric. Yeah. Okay. I mean, these are the elements heating up. There's right. no danger there whatsoever. The oil, on the other hand, requires a bit more maintenance and cleaning. And also the first time you turn it on, actually the strong, believe it or not, is even stronger.
Okay.
So there's no real danger in it. It's just, things heating up. There's nothing to worry
Maybe
about.
Maybe the dust that has settled on top of the grill.
Dust, or the elements heating up, all kind of things. I mean, just make sure to stick in a brand new filter every time the season change.
Ah.
I usually recommend every 3 months. So, with change of seasons, you change the filter and look at your MERV rating as well. That's
okay.
important and often forgotten.
Okay. One more question. Alex is going to be on the line. We're going to get to him in a moment. 514-790-0800. I live near the top floor in my condo, in my apartment building. Is it easy? Do people on higher floors use their heating less than people on lower floors?
Not necessarily.
So there's no economic value to living on a higher floor because heat rises and perhaps you don't get as cold up
well,
there.
Well, if
what
you're
I'm
sandwiched in any type of floor, you're in a good place because, you're kind of, the heat is passing through and through. If you're on the last floor, actually the chances are you are even colder. And
yes.
high rises, the higher you go, the colder it gets, right?
Ah, okay.
So, it's more windy usually. It's more, it's more of a question of a wind tunnel as
right.
well. So there are other aspects to look into it. But definitely, the fact that if you're sandwiched, it doesn't matter which floor you are, you're usually better off.
That's too bad, I hope.
Especially if you also sandwich from both sides
sure.
as well, so
yeah.
right and left.
That's too bad. I was
so
hoping I was saving
unit
some money.
Is not but don't you guys share the heating for the whole building?
No, it's on an individual level.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I'm guessing, the radiators are there. They're right below the windows, and we have the gauge, and our hydro is individualized.
Okay, that's interesting, because
yeah.
most condos, they actually all share the bill.
No, that's weird. Okay,
yeah.
Well, I should look into that probably. Alex, you're going to be up next, but first we're going to have to take a break. You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJD 800. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. I'm Jay Farrar, in for Joanne Vrakis this week. And of course, as per usual, joined by Walter Assey, the president of Renovco. All right. The number, it's 514-790-0800 if you have any questions when it comes to home repair and beyond. Walter Assey, he's ready to go and ready to take your questions. And we're going to start things off with Alex. Alex, you have a question about changing the sump pump.
Yes, actually, I have a couple of questions. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I'm looking to change my sump pump. It's pretty old. It's starting to work a little bit slower than what it usually used to. Just wondering, how much is it going to cost me, like ballpark figure?
So there's depends on a lot of things. One of them would be the power of the sump pump, how many horsepower you want to get.
Okay.
If you want to get a submersible pump, there are there's different and there's different brands, obviously, as well.
Okay.
Starting point, I mean, you can start as low as, for the machine itself, as $200. It can go up all the way to $1,500.
Okay.
So I would not necessarily go with a one-third horsepower. That's not, you know, my sweet spot is a half a horsepower minimum if you are in an area where it does not have a high water table. And if you are, depending on the activity, anywhere from 3/4 to 1 horsepower.
Mine rarely goes on. It's like the past 2 days that we had all this heavy rain, it hasn't gone on.
Okay, so
I'm like, I'm the highest, I got the highest property on the street, and my house is like on the highest part of the property.
Okay.
But it rarely goes on.
What year construction is your home?
1990.
Okay. So usually you would have definitely French rains. Like half a horsepower is where I would start. That's, you know, you could go down to one third. But honestly, with the weather patterns, the way they're changing, I would not, you know, risk it. And there's not a big difference in price between the two. The only thing I would maybe, while you're doing this and you have a plumber taking care of that, I would maybe look into also having some type of a backup pump in case you miss hydro.
Okay.
Because, you know, in most cases, we see that the hydro goes out in big storms.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know,
especially in St. Lazare, where I live, yeah.
Exactly. And so even if you have 2 horsepower pumps with no power, they're good for nothing. It goes down to zero, right?
Yeah.
So what I would do is I would look into either the Liberty water powered, and specifically that brand, because water powered pumps, up until that particular model came up, they were not as efficient. So their, you know, their suction was not as up to par. These newer models have kind of improved the technology, so they are half decent. Or a battery backup pump. And what you do is, the good thing with these pumps is that you set the floater a bit higher. So if your actual pump in normal time fails, it burns, something happens, then at any given time, those backup pumps will kick in.
Okay. And your company will come and give me an estimate for this?
Yeah. I mean, you don't even need to come. We just you give us a picture and, you know, someone will give you a price even over the phone.
Oh, great. Okay. I can call you for that then. And my second question was, what are the, how do I do the incentives for changing windows and stuff like that, the government incentives?
So you first call for an audit. You pay, I think it costs about $300.
Okay.
The government will send a certified firm to do for you an efficiency, energy efficiency test,
okay,
which is actually, which is good whether you want to do the job or not.
Okay.
Because it will kind of zero in all the weak spots in your home, from windows to caulking to insulation to all kind of things, to furnace, to it kind of give you a general overview of what's needed.
Mm-hmm.
And then based on that, you don't have to do the whole list, but anything you do on the list, there are subventions that will kick in as you do it. So you just send them a proof of a receipt that you've done it, you've paid for it, and that have to be an RBQ certified firm, obviously. And then they will just reimburse you as per the material that you have chosen. Not the material, as per the service you have chosen.
Okay, and who do I call to do that?
So Renault Climat, Renault Vert is the program. And once you go in, they kind of walk you through it and they kind of tell you where, you know, where to go. You have to open a file and then they will dispatch something. So it's, you could do it online as well.
Okay. And is there also federal incentives or just provincial?
So right now, what I know of the, I know that Hydro-Québec have a program for furnaces, heat pumps, and, you know, all kind of energy efficiency things. I'm not aware of other programs at this point.
Okay. So Renault Climat is the one I call.
Yeah. You know, the guy that does this as well, they, or usually even them, they can guide you through other subventions if there's any. But I know that one of the more aggressive ones right now is the Hydro-Québec one.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Alex. I hope we answered all your questions there.
Yep, you did. Thank
Have
you
a great
much.
Day. Take care. Good luck.
Thank
you. Wendy is on the line with a question about the air conditioning in the duplex. Hi, Wendy. Wendy?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Oh, good morning.
We live on a second floor duplex. However, it is... thank you. Duplex is a split level. Downstairs and upstairs, we have... You come in and there's a living room, kitchen, and what we have is an office. And then you come up seven stairs and the bathroom and the two bedrooms are situated on the up seven stairs. We have an air conditioning unit on the top of the hallway upstairs. And we notice every winter there's a draft that seems to be coming down the stairs. I can sit on the stairs by the living room, and I can actually feel it. The windows are closed. The bedrooms are warm. But in the evening, this draft seems to be coming down. I notice it more at night because we're, I guess, stationary more. Is that would I be better to wrap up the air conditioning unit on the outside? Is that would that be a draft coming from there?
So let's talk about what type of air conditioning unit.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear us?
I think there's a bit of a delay.
It's a Cree, and it runs... It, oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why. Maybe it's from LaSalle to downtown. I'm in... it's a Cree. It's the ones that are situated on the top of the walls that come down and... I don't know what you call them. It air conditions the whole house for us.
Is it the wall-mounted one, or is the heat pump, is it the wall-mounted one?
No, it's a wall-mount.
Wall-mount. But it's not the older
one. It's up over the, between the bathroom and the, one of the bedrooms.
Yeah. Okay, it's not the old ones, it's not the older ones, it's the newer ones, so the white splits usually, right? The ones that are rectangular?
That's correct, and it's not in the window, it's in the wall. It's right.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
situated
so,
in the wall. It's been done in the wall.
So, I mean, there's no outside unit to these. What technically we'll see when you go out where this is installed is a pipe that goes down to the unit, the heat pump unit, which is usually mounted on the floor or on a bracket on a wall. What you need to do is look at the area where the pipe goes into your home and ensure that this is insulated. Most of the time, the technicians, they don't actually insulate that area properly. So what you're probably left with is a kind of a gaping hole with very little insulation caulking or, you know, anything to kind of stop this draft from happening. So what I would do is I would start with that first, not necessarily with the unit itself.
Thanks so much, Wendy. Hope that answered all your questions. We're going to have more from the Home Improvement Show coming up next. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. I'm Jay Farrar, and joining me, of course, is Walter Assey, the president of Renovco. 514-790-0800 if you want to get on the docket here. If you have any questions about home repair or if you've got a project going on, anything you want, Walter is here to ask or to answer all of your questions. We'll kick things off with Bill, who has a question about oil on a shingle roof. I am curious, Bill.
Yes, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I'd like to ask Walter, like I heard about the oil, the revitalizing oil for shingle roofs. My home is 14 years old. The shingles look good, perfect. I'm just wondering two questions. If 14 years is a good time to do this, and is it better to do it in the spring or in the fall? Does this make a difference?
Okay, the first part, the second part of the question, it doesn't really make a difference whether it's the spring or the fall. What's important is that you don't do it when it's really, really hot or really, really cold.
Okay.
So, you know, either late spring or early fall would be probably the best timing to do it. It's okay. Both as good. It's really about temperature and warmth, and that the shingles are not very hot when you apply it. So you, even if you're doing it in the early morning, if the day before it was hot and the shingles are still hot, it might cause you issues as well.
I see.
The only time I would stay away from these types of products is if we see any dryness in the shingle or any shrinkage or any curling. That those types of oils do not do much for you to help.
Okay.
But if it's in very good shape, still your shingles, then it's definitely worth it. It's actually a fraction of the cost of a new roof. And what? It will buy you another at least 5 years if it's well applied.
Yeah, I can't really tell if they're dry or not, but is there like a time, like 14 years, would you say the time is about right? Like if they look fine.
So the way it works with shingles, Bill, is depending on what type of shingles you bought when the house was the last time, when okay. you changed the roof last time. So there are 15-year shingles, there are 25-year shingles, there's 50-year shingles.
So okay.
depending, if it's a 14-year shingle, that means your shingle now is at the end of its life. And okay. if it's still in good shape and you don't see any curling or cracking or shrinkage, then it's a great candidate to buy you another 5 years by applying.
Oh, that's amazing. My neighbor's house is 15 years old, and like I told him about it, and he's interested too. So we're gonna try and do two for one. Find a roofer to do this.
Hey, Bill. Thank you.
Sorry.
Try with your neighbor first, and then next year maybe. Let him be the one to jump in first. How about that?
Great show, guys. I really love your show. You learn so much.
Oh,
have a
fantastic.
Great day. Thank you.
Thanks for the kind words, Bill. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Bye.
Let's head over to Stefan, who has a question about plumbing. Hi, Stefan.
Hi. Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for taking my call this
sure.
morning. My question about plumbing is twofold. One is we had the main drain replaced underneath the cement slab in the basement in February, and now's the time to look at the outside pipe for next spring. And we're getting two different quotations, but one of the plumbers we discussed the second job with mentioned that there should be a clean out close to the wall. Closest to the street where the drain is going to the city sewer. That drain was there before the first renovation in February, but it's not there anymore. They didn't replace it. Is that mandatory to put a drain there?
I mean, a clean out, it's not a question of the mandatory. It's the fact that you want to have a clean out to the closest, as close as possible to that area in order to clean it if there's any other blockages or any problems in the future. So it just makes your life a lot easier. Now, the fact that you changed the plumbing inside the drains, where did you re-pour the concrete after they changed it?
Yes.
Okay. So there is a part where they probably have to break it again. You know that, right?
Yep.
Okay. That's the only, if you want, overlap of the job, is they have to break a section again and then, you know, replace it from there. But, I mean, a clean out is a great, that's the best time for you to have it. And it's really practical to have it there as close as possible to the street for many reasons.
Okay, I thought it was part of the plumbing code, one of the plumbers mentioned.
Well, cleanouts are part of the plumbing code. The location of the cleanout is another story.
Okay.
But, I mean, it is definitely part of the plumbing code, for sure. I'm sure you have some type of a cleanout in your basement right now.
Oh, yes,
you?
Yes, definitely on the stack, okay. Which is around the back wall of the house.
Mm-hmm. When they changed your drains in the basement, they installed a backflow valve?
Yes.
Okay, that's very good. Okay.
Yeah, that was one of the issues that
okay.
we had.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. The second part of my question is to do the outside work. Obviously, they have to dig, but we found a company from Anjou that puts in a sleeve inside the old pipe, and then they, I guess, like a stent on.
Correct.
On a person.
Correct.
What are your feelings about these?
So that works if the pipe itself is not very compromised.
Okay.
So you have to look, because what it is, it uses the old pipe cavity to kind of support itself to create this, if you want, new sleeve. So it's like it uses it as a mold, and then that's what kind of creates the sleeve. Now, the end of the problem with old cast iron pipes is that they corrode, and then the capacity that starts at 4 inches, in some cases it goes down to 2 inches. So now you might end up having a sleeve with a much smaller capacity.
Okay.
So that is a decision that is not to be taken lightly. The guys that have to, you know, you have to, I would, if I were you, be present when we do the camera inspection to see exactly the condition of the pipe. If you find that the pipe now, the capacity of the pipe is really reduced, then you're not doing yourself any favor. You might save yourself a bit of money, but long term, you're going to be prone to a lot more blockages. So that I will be very careful from. The other thing I want to tell you, Stefan, while you're doing this job, you're going to have access to your water line. I don't know if anybody, your supply line. Anybody mentioned that to you?
Yes.
Okay. And how old is your supply line? Is it original to the build?
72 years old. It's as old as the house.
So that will be... The smartest thing you could do is you change the supply at the same time, because the most expensive part of this job, believe it or not, is the excavation part.
Yes, definitely. That's why we were thinking of, you know, going with the sleeve so that we don't have to excavate, because, you know, we have to excavate part of the driveway, front steps and landscaping and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the costliest part.
That is correct. And, you know, again, if you when you are doing that assessment, you know, don't necessarily listen to the tech and his advice. The good thing with the cameras, they're really high def, so you could really see yourself the condition of the pipe. If the pipe does, if the company does the sleeve, that's what they're going to try to push on you. But what you really want to make sure is that, you know, you look at things yourself and make that decision. Make a well-informed decision, because it's still not cheap and you still don't want to pay that money for nothing at the end.
All right,
yeah,
Stefan.
With the sleeves, you don't get the intake at the same time.
Absolutely. That's another thing that you're probably going to end up needing to do anyways.
All right, Stefan.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Have a great day, okay? 514-790-0800. More of the Home Improvement Show coming up next. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. This is our last segment. You got a few minutes left, so if you want to get on the docket here, there are lines open. Give us a call at 514-790-0800 if you have any questions for Walter Assey. Of course, the president of Renovco is here. Give us a call. We've got lines open. We're going to kick things off in this segment with Robert, who's hearing trumpet sounds. Robert, what is going on?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I have the outside tap of my house. When I turn it on, the pipes shake like crazy, or they make a really loud trumpet sound.
Hmm.
And now I'm getting it inside the house, too, in the basement. What could that be? Like, what causes this?
So, I mean, that could be many things. One of them, it could be just a worn-out washer.
Okay.
It could be also that you have some air in the pipes. And
okay.
What you could do to kind of eliminate that possibility is you shut off the main valve.
Yeah.
And you open all of the faucets in the house.
Okay.
Make sure to drain all the pipes, and you're going to turn it back on again. But you turn it back on again, make sure that all the pipes are closed, all the faucets are closed again, so you don't have a flood in your house.
Yeah.
So that will be one thing. The second thing would be to check out the washer in your faucet, the garden faucet. Just make sure that it's not worn. Replace it with a new one.
Yeah, I think it is worn, but I also have the problem inside the house, in the basement.
Yeah, well, that kind of cascades to... That's what happens. You, all what you have, if you have one fixture that have this issue, that will cause the water hammering. It could also be if you have older pipes that the copper pipes are not well fastened, so there's not enough fasteners, or the fasteners have gotten loose with time.
Okay.
That is also a common issue with older homes.
Okay.
But I will start with the easier stuff first. I would really start with changing the washer.
Yeah.
I will start with shutting off the water and draining the pipes, and then see if that still reoccurs. In that case, you might need a water hammer arrester.
Okay, yeah.
And you also would need to make sure that your pressure valve regulator is set between 50 and 60 psi. So that's where, you know, just to make sure that we don't have too much pressure going in. But these are things I would do like a second step type of situation, because now we're getting plumbers in, and, you know, you might have to get another job to pay them. So
we
want to try to avoid that if possible.
Yeah, I see. But as for draining the pipes, I would have to drain them all completely?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes. You open all the faucets. Just what you're trying to do is to make sure that there's no air left in the pipes.
Okay.
So if there's anything, you just drain them. You shut off the water. You drain them. Make sure that they drain out. And then, you know, put the water back on again and see. If the washer is old, it needs to be replaced anyways. Just do that, and that will be the end of that story.
Okay. I'll start with those.
Thanks, Robert.
Good, Robert.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Robert. Appreciate it. 514-790-0800. We do have some lines open right now, so give us a call as we head into the last few minutes of the Home Improvement Show here. We just got a text in here. We were talking about sump pump before.
Mm-hmm.
And Anne, who's also in St. Lazare, talking about asking a question about a sump pump and how often it should be replaced.
Just because you said the word Saint Lazare,
yeah.
It is more a problematic area because of the type of the water that goes into the pit.
Right.
So the sump pumps need to be cleaned a lot more often, at least 3 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't do that. In this case, in Saint Lazare, I would actually, if they're not being maintained, believe it or not, I would go as much as if it's an active sump pump, once a year, if she doesn't clean it. If she cleans it, she can probably 2 to 3 years. But if there's one area that would encourage to have a backup pump, it would be Saint Lazare.
Yeah.
Because of the quality of the water and how dirty the sump pump it can get very quickly, and the sump pump itself.
My in-laws live in Saint Lazare, so I'm going to let them know that. Quickly, we do have Avi on the line, who has a question about the basement floor and the foundation. Hi, Avi.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I'm wondering. I have a bungalow built in 1956. I inherited it 20 years ago. And on the playroom downstairs is rising. It has risen, rather, over the years. Is that a foundation problem? Do I have something to worry about?
You said your cement slab is rising, is heaving?
No, the floor.
Yeah, yeah.
In the basement.
Yeah.
Is like a hill.
Yeah. What year construction is the home?
I'm wondering if it's a reflection of the state of the foundation.
No, it's not. So that's more, there's a couple of potential. Either you have water built up underneath, so you don't have a proper evacuation of the water underneath the slab, or you could have a cracked plumbing pipe which is plumbing drain, I should say, which is causing a buildup of sewage under the slab. Or third, and hopefully not, it could be a pyrite-related issue, depending on the year of construction on your home. So all of these, the good news for you that, Avi, all of these can be checked. You start with the plumbing inspection to put a camera through. And from there, we can know if there is a plumbing issue, or if not, then it, we start investigating more a pyrite issue.
All right. Thank you so much, Avi. I hope that helps. And that's all the time we have for the Home Improvement Show. Boy, it goes quick. Thank you so much, Walter Assey, president of Renofco, of course, for your expertise. And we'll see everybody again next week. Have a great day, everyone.